All right, everybody, welcome back to the Dying Wine and Spirit Show, NOLA Drinks Edition here on WGSO 990 AM New Orleans. I'm your host, Brian Diaz. Thanks for joining us on this supposed fall Thursday here in New Orleans. I'll believe it the day that I wake up cold and I can sleep with my windows open. But and I think we're a ways off from that right now. But hey, pleased to be joined by my good friend Liam Deegan from Barrel Proof. Liam, welcome.
Thank you, man.
Good to see
you.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
I feel like it's been a long time since we last saw each other.
Yeah, man, you've changed. You've changed so much. I didn't know who you were when you walked into the studio. And actually, we're joking here because on Tuesday, I went into Barrel Proof and we shot our featured cocktail segment, episode number 2, where we did the old fashioned.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was cool, man. I actually hadn't seen you in a while, and then now I see you 2 times in 3 days.
Yeah, I'm getting spoiled.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Thanks. Yeah. Ask Sylvia, my lovely wife, that. I mean, she's like a daily base. Like, God, that's enough.
No, we're always happy to have you in the bar.
Oh, thank you, man. You know I'll consume stuff.
Oh, yeah. Helps keep the inventory low.
Yeah, that's about all I'm good for is helping keep the inventory low. I'm a team player. But it was cool. We shot the video, and it was neat because, we get into the bar and get a chance to check out the setting. And as we've discussed on the show before, but for listeners who don't know who you are, Barrel Proof there on the 1201 Magazine Street, as we were joking, in the lower Garden District. You guys are, the emphasis is on whiskey.
Yeah, yeah. So we have almost 300 whiskeys now, which is, it's a growing collection. We started with, I think, under 200 when we first opened, and just adding different bottles each week. Kind of adding some more expensive ones and some harder to find ones. We recently added some vintage bottles, some old, like old granddad, like from the 80s.
The old granddad.
Yeah. Like there's some National Distiller stuff, which before it moved over to Beam.
Oh yeah.
We had some single barrel picks. So the emphasis is on whiskey, but we also do, you know, all the range of classics. You know, we do all the gin drinks, all the.
Yeah, you got mezcal in there, I know. Sure. Oh, beer, yeah. Wine, all.
Yeah,
that
I mean, actually, and mezcal and tequila are actually pretty popular, even at a whiskey bar.
Yeah, I didn't know that you were up around 300. As a matter of fact, we're going to have to take this up with one of your fabulous and talented bartenders, Katie Dubois, who was on the show a couple weeks ago, because she reported 270, give or take. And that's short trip, or was that accurate 2 weeks ago?
It might be. Well, no, I think the most recent count is, I think, it's 282, but that kind of fluctuates because. Every week, you know, obviously the whole bourbon shortage thing that's been going on for the last year or two,
yeah,
that people
sure.
are talking about. Every week there'll be some bottle that we can't get from our distributor, so it kind of fluctuates by, I'd say, maybe 5 bottles. Sometimes you get some bottles that are off menu that we only have a couple of or one of, and then sometimes there's a bottle that we can't get for a few weeks, a few months. I mean, the Japanese stuff has been, like we talked about last time.
Yeah, yeah,
that stuff has dwindled pretty seriously.
And is that just hard to get your hands on right now?
Yeah, especially in Louisiana. Louisiana is just a weird market for allocation. It's for as much booze as New Orleans drinks. It's not really considered a big market like Chicago or parts of Florida, New York,
California sure.
for sure.
Yeah.
So we don't necessarily get all the big collections of the cool stuff.
We are sort of an oasis. It's almost like we're in an inverted island under a water of booze here in New Orleans, and then everyone else is kind of like up high and dry.
Yeah. I mean, we like to spend our money, I guess, more economically on booze rather than the bigger markets where they kind of splurge a little more on the nicer stuff.
I like it. That's our economics right there.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that kind of economics. There's our old granddad right there for you.
Exactly.
Perfectly. Well, so Liam, when we shot the feature cocktail, and as I mentioned, and we'll get further into this in the next segment because we don't have a whole lot of time left in this one. We I wanted to start out doing, since this was episode number 2 of doing that, start out with a classic cocktail, and we did the old fashioned. You guys make, as I described in the post online, it's a straightforward and proper version of the drink. And as you were saying in the video, this drink isn't. You don't need to mess this up with making it too cute.
No, I think a lot of places do really well, but there are some places that they kind of mess with it too much. And it went through different variations. You know, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, there was the whole like muddled oranges and cherries and whatnot. And so Barrel Proof, it sounds kind of silly to say, but Barrel Proof was kind of built around the old fashioned, just the whole philosophy and the approach and execution. in the sense that we're trying to do something classic and traditional and simple and kind of stay out of the way, but still approach it with quality. I think using quality ingredients and also, you know, taking the simple things seriously enough so you don't mess up, but still stepping out of the way. So I mean, our old fashioned is just literally six dashes of Angostura, quarter ounce of Demerara syrup, and just a good bourbon that we drink a lot of. That's not too expensive. I mean, you can make old fashions with more expensive whiskey, but we're trying to give people quality for a lower price.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And we'll come back to that, Liam, when we after this break here. There's no, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Absolutely.
And I mean, a lot of these drinks, these classic cocktails, I have no problem, you know, if you want to riff on something, that's great because we want to encourage creativity. But the stuff that sort of, you know, has worked in this case for 150, 175 years maybe with that drink, you know, it's there for a reason.
Right. And we try to just do the best version of that. I mean, it's six dashes for a reason. Like we messed around with different bourbons, different amounts of different simple syrups, like either 2-to-1 or 1-to-1, which is mm-hmm. like 1 part sugar or 2 parts sugar to water.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer the 2 part 2-to-1. It's just kind of a richer, it gives it a better texture. And then the 100 proof bourbon also makes a difference. So it's really small kind of stuff that you have to be, I guess, a little obsessive, like I am.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
these things, but it was kind of important to us to make something that people would really enjoy, but it's also really simple.
Yeah, awesome. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the feature cocktail, the Old Fashioned, get into the other cocktail that we shot on Tuesday that'll be coming out pretty quick on our YouTube channel, and we got some stuff to taste. We're going to talk about some issues behind the bar. Liam Deegan, proprietor of Barrel Proof, is here. Coming back to hour number two of the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show, NOLA Drinks Edition, WGSO 990 AM, New Orleans.
Welcome to the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to hour number two of the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. This is Brian Diaz. I am your host. Happy to be here with you on a Thursday. Hope everybody's having a good almost end of their week. We're almost to the weekend, and I'm joined by my good pal Liam Deegan here from Barrel Proof. Good to see you again, man.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, thanks. We were talking to Liam before we went on the top of the hour break there about the Old Fashioned. So I mentioned we shot a featured cocktail video. You can go check that out on noladrinks.com. We come into Barrel Proof and you demonstrated how you made it. So in this case, we were talking about right before the break. So six dashes of Angostura bitters, quarter ounce of Demerara syrup, but you're doing a 2-to-1, meaning two sugar to one water.
Yeah, that's actually, I mean, that's what we use for all our syrups.
Okay.
Just for consistency and it, I think it kind of started at Sylvain just with when space is at a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of can basically have double the syrup, and also and for a Sazerac too, just the texture. I think it works a lot better than a more watery syrup. I think the 2-to-1, in my personal opinion, I think just creates a more complex, better texture for the drink. So I've always liked it.
Yeah, you know, and that was actually what I was just going to say. Anticipated the question. Well done, man. is that you know, because I'm imagining, okay, you know, I'm sure that people out there make a certain variation where it's going to be a 1-to-1 sugar to water ratio,
right,
but using a half ounce. And that's the nice thing about your Old Fashioned is there's a mouthfeel to it. So it's got a mid palate to it that's a little creamy,
right?
And because of the density of the simple syrup is contributing to that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, 1-to-1 is always what you find in like the older classic recipes. I mean, I honestly don't really know why I'm drawn to 2-to-1 so much. It's kind of like a weird nerdy thing. I think it's nice to have a 1-to-1 for certain drinks, like maybe a daiquiri. It's nice, but especially for a Sazerac or an Old Fashioned, I think for those stirred drinks, you want kind of like a richer texture, more something more viscous.
Yeah, you need the volume in a daiquiri, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the volume, and that's kind of a more refreshing drink that kind of doesn't hurt to have like a little more, I guess, liquid in it.
Yeah, right, and water basically. Yeah,
right. But for a stirred drink, I think that richer kind of more velvety texture, if you will, is something that people want in a stirred drink. It's kind of what Old Fashioned, Sazeracs, and for that matter, Manhattans, which you know, obviously don't use simple syrup, but a richer vermouth is what I like in those drinks. So like when I crave a stirred drink, it's usually something just richer, more texture, I think.
Right.
As opposed to like a refreshing drink like a daiquiri.
Yeah,
or a Tom Collins.
And then, I mean, that's in different groups of drinks or different families of drinks, essentially, like we're talking about. And with the old fashioned in this case, so, you know, I was actually looking at some of the research or history of the cocktail and, you know, lots of variations over the years. Obviously, like a lot of these cocktails from the 19th century, we're talking the origins are a little hazy.
Right.
You mentioned this in the previous segment about it seems that the use of the maraschino cherry popped up in the 30s, I guess. Mm. That kind of went away. And typically, people were using different citrus, that kind of thing.
Right.
I saw some variations where it was two dashes of Angostura bitters. And, you know, so it was almost a ratio, but, you know, it was a sugar cube, two dashes of Ango, and an ounce of rye. That seemed to be kind of a common variation for a while in there.
Yeah, I think that's probably something more like along, I guess, like the medicinal or kind of picking up lines of a cocktail where people, you know, a long time ago, like a cocktail was just something you popped into a place and got a quick cocktail and drank it and went about your day, which I guess you can't really do anymore. I mean, New Orleans, I think you can. But
Wait.
some people can, I guess. I don't know.
I did today before the show, Liam.
Well, you're a lucky guy.
Yeah, right.
I mean, but it's one of those things, like cocktails were not always like a leisurely thing. I think it was at a certain point in time, I mean, a very long time ago, it was something that people just kind of like stopped into a place, had a quick pop, and then continued with their day.
It was an apothecary approach, right?
And
you know, and like considered like a health thing because people extolled the virtues of bitters, for example. And
yeah, so there's some people looked at it as like going like a pharmaceutical type thing. Some people looked at it, you know, there's the eye opener cocktails, which is like when you're being hungover every morning. And this is, you know, 1800s or so.
Yeah.
And there's like the Corpse Survivor, there's other cocktails that are kind of built for the morning, which people still do now for brunch, but I don't think people really get up before work and have a cocktail.
Start pounding.
Some people do.
Depends
what you do.
Yeah, right, exactly. And that's, you know, and that's an interesting thing, I guess. So the name Old Fashioned, if I understand correctly, so you're mentioning this, so that, you know, the basic idea of a cocktail, and this is a topic for another time where that term actually comes from, because that's also debated, but where you have a spirit, sugar, and then water. And then citrus, bitters. Perhaps, or bitters.
I think the citrus... My understanding is that the citrus kind of came along a little bit after, I think, just because it just wasn't as available. I think lemons were probably easier to get, so a lot of recipes would be mostly lemon, or oranges, I think, appear a little later.
Yeah.
Oranges work better with bourbon, I think.
Yeah, I agree entirely.
In general.
Yeah.
But yeah, like from what I've seen, especially in Wandrich's book, Imbibe, he kind of talks about the origins where it could have been Genever. It eventually became whiskey now is what the old fashioned is, the modern old fashioned. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of just taking a spirit, adulterating it a little bit with sugar, diluting it a little bit, and then adding another flavor component like bitters was a popular thing. You know, bitters have been around forever. Maybe ice if you had it. If you had the luxury, and then also citrus as well if you had the luxury. So super simple, and that's, I guess, kind of I hate to say the original cocktail because it's kind of we don't know. But it became, people started calling it the old fashioned because people would say, give me that old fashioned drink, because that was what people used to drink before. And it
kind of went out of vogue, right?
I guess didn't really have a name. It was just a cocktail. And then as other, you know, other drinks came about, the term cocktail didn't refer to a specific thing. It started to speak to a family of drinks.
Right.
So the word cocktail originally meant one like a whiskey cocktail is a specific drink name.
Yep. And now bitter, it just refers sugar, to and spirit,
the grand
right?
world of mixed drinks.
Right.
Which
right.
originally it didn't. So I guess that's kind of how the word old fashioned came about, because it would be like, give me that old fashioned cocktail.
Yeah. And I think what I understand too is that by the mid 19th century, or maybe, you know, 1860 or so, the concept of the cocktail that as we were talking about with spirit, water, sugar, and bitters kind of waned a little bit in popularity,
right.
and then started to come back in the mid-19th century in certain places, in a lot of urban areas, New York, places like that, and perhaps here. And then people started to say, you know, referring to, as you said, give me that old-fashioned cocktail.
Right, right.
And that was sort of a family approach. I think with some of Wunderich's research, talking about the term cocktail might even go through some of the talk lately is the early 19th century, but then going back and even finding some references in the very late 18th century because they were the term, it involved ginger in some beverages, and the idea where horse trainers and things like that would take a piece of ginger and put it up the backside of a horse for horse shows to get it to raise its tail.
Right, right.
And so that, you know, and cocking the tail, if you will. And there's some reference to that in there. And it seems that there was a beverage going on. I guess this is in the UK, right? Where in London and in England in general, where that was being done with horses. And then there was a drink, I'm guessing probably bitters and spirit and ginger, something like that, or maybe not the, the bitters, just the ginger.
Right.
And that, that's the term seems to be kind of the, as far back as we're able to trace the etymology of the word.
Yeah, it makes you glad you're not a, that you're not a horse.
It makes me glad I'm not a horse. Exactly. I don't need to be put in a show either. So I mean, other than this one, which maybe I shouldn't be on this.
It's a lot better to be able to drink an old fashioned than the alternative with ginger.
Exactly, exactly. And so I mean, it's an interesting conversation, and you guys make a really good old fashioned there. And as I said, like it's the way I view it is it's if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's a straightforward version. There's no reason for it not to be to make it right. And then when you said with the where you take the approach of using the 2-to-1 Demerara, so it's the finer points of the drink that make the simplicity shine through, I guess is perhaps a way to say it.
Right, yeah. I mean, we just enjoy doing simple things and kind of obsessing over them rather than getting ahead of ourselves and trying to do, you know, a 8-ingredient drink, which there's places out there that do that and a lot do it well. A lot more places do it not so well, but we Barrel Proof was kind of the whole concept of the bar was just to do simple things that people love that especially we loved, and the way we drink was is simple, but we still appreciate quality above all else.
These things are not mutual exclusives. I mean, right, you exactly, get in there, yeah. you get a quality drink. It's priced reasonably, and it's as you were touching on earlier, it's served in a timely fashion.
Ideally, yeah.
Yeah, ideally. We were talking about some of the time we first met a number of years ago at Sylvain on Mardi Gras Tuesday a number of years ago, and drinks were less and less timely as the day went on, yeah. And were certainly not more and more difficult.
Yeah, especially on Mardi Gras Day later on, I think the bartender might have a drink before you do.
Yeah, exactly. I think at least a couple. Well, folks, we're going to take a quick break here on the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show, NOLA Drake's edition. We are chatting with Liam Deegan from Barrel Proof there at 1201 Magazine Street. We're going to taste a couple things, and we're actually going to come back and talk about an important issue about the health of bartenders. Come on back.
Well, after I'm through this bottle of wine, I'm going to take you out.